In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the 11th century, a man by the name of Theophylactus was born on a small island off the coast of Greece near Athens, went to Constantinople and received an excellent education there. He became a great scholar, one of the greatest biblical scholars of his time, and a great speaker. He was ordained a priest there in Constantinople and later was made a bishop. Then he was sent, against his will, the record says, so that's been kept all these centuries, against his will, to Ohrid. Ohrid is in modern-day Bulgaria. It's a huge, beautiful, wonderful, magnificent lake there. But there wasn't a lot other than that lake and the native Bulgarians. He became eventually the metropolitan of Bulgaria. He served there for 25 years. And he wrote some of the most wonderful biblical commentaries, and the Orthodox have used them ever since the 11th century down to the present day. On the one that we call the Blessed Theophylact, writes about Zacchaeus. He has some very interesting things to say. First of all, he says, everyone agrees that publicans are just the worst imaginable kinds of people. There is no one worse than a publican. These tax collectors, they make their living from the tears of the poor, he says. And Zacchaeus was the chief among the publicans. He had become very wealthy in very wicked ways. Theophylactus says that God takes the greatest among those who follow the example of the devil and saves them. And that's what he was doing with Zacchaeus. He says that by being the first among so many wicked, the worst of the worst, you become great in wealth, but short in spiritual stature. And so he sees the short height of Zacchaeus as significant. Zacchaeus was short of stature, and he couldn't see Christ for the crowd. Theophylact says that these crowds, they were not just out there outside, but within him also. When Theophylact reads the Gospels, he sees the physical events and the things that are going on as all of deep spiritual significance. What you see there physically reflects the condition of the world, the condition of the people who are around Christ as he walks the earth. And so these are not just crowds where this is a short man who can't see Jesus because the people are so tall. Theophylact says, within Zacchaeus, there is a crowd of passions that keeps him from being able to see Jesus Christ passing through. It keeps him from being able to see in his life or even imagine any kind of Christian act. Because Theophylact says that when we act in righteousness and virtue in the world, Christ is walking amongst us. We are the presence of Christ in the world. And if we devote ourselves to wickedness and the wealth of the body and the passions, we won't be able to see what a virtuous act is like. We won't be able to see Christ. We won't be able to see and take him as our example, because the one whose example that we are taking is the enemy. And so Zacchaeus can't see Christ, and yet he is inspired by an eagerness to be able to see this man. It's something that is above and beyond him, something that he doesn't understand. And we as human beings, we desire to be able to see that which we do not understand. That is, We desire to see that which is beyond and above us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be human beings. And so he says, Zacchaeus, in eagerness to see Christ, climbs the sycamore tree. Theophylact calls it the sycamore fig tree. I'm not sure where he gets that. I'd have to research that. But the point that he makes is that as Zacchaeus ascends from where he usually is, where he lives his life, in order to be able to see Christ, he passes by all of the sweet fruits of pleasure that ordinarily inspire every action that he takes in his life, while he is defrauding the poor and amassing his ill-gotten wealth. He passes by all of the sweet pleasures of the figs in the tree because he is so anxious to get to the top to be able to see Christ. Theophylact says he is ascending in his soul as he passes by more and more of these pleasures out of desire and eagerness to see Christ. That's why we hear about Zacchaeus 5 weeks before, I wouldn't even say it, passing by all of those pleasures in order to be able to see Christ. Because we have shrunken inside, we have become small of stature, unable to see in our lives what a virtuous act is like. Because we act according to the way of the world. We have to ascend in our hearts like Zacchaeus in order to be able to see how to live and act like Christ. In order to be able to see the way Christ would walk through the world, the things that he would do. And so he gets up there. And Jesus sees him. Zacchaeus is able to see Jesus at last. And the way Theophylact interprets what Jesus says, also very interesting. Jesus sees Zacchaeus there, recognizes him. God knows all of us by name. He knows our hearts. And he sees that Zacchaeus has ascended to be able to see him out of desire. And he says to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down. Today I will eat with you in your house. And the way Theophylact explains the meaning of what Jesus says is this. Zacchaeus has climbed so high out of his desire to see Christ by repentance, passing by those sweet fruits of life. But now, Jesus is saying, come down, Zacchaeus, because although you have ascended by repentance, you may fall from this height out of pride. So come down with humility, and I will come and meet you as a humble man in your home. Who's the humble man? Zacchaeus. He didn't climb up there to look down on Christ. He just climbed up to be able to see him at all. And Jesus is saying, don't try to stay in those heights. You know, lots of times we think, I'm making some spiritual progress. And then we look down. We have to be humble. After we have ascended by repentance, the next step is not to just go on and on through our own efforts of desire, but to achieve humility from that height of repentance. And descend in order to be with Christ. We live by the Lord himself, the Son of God, God incarnate, down on the ground. That's where Jesus is. And Zacchaeus, if he's going to be with Jesus, he has to come down. And Jesus will meet with him, now a humble man, because Jesus himself is humble. And they can share that humility. Zacchaeus will no longer be like the enemy of God. He will be like God himself. He will be humbled with the humility of Christ. And then Zacchaeus comes down and Jesus goes to his house. And Zacchaeus says to Jesus, behold, I give away half of all that I have to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone, And there's this, I can hear Jiminy Cricket and Pinocchio say, if, because Theophilus is everything he's got, he's taken from the poor. If I have defrauded anyone, right, I give it back fourfold. Why fourfold? Because in Exodus it says that that's what a thief is supposed to do when he restores what he has taken to the rightful owner. Don't just return it. Return it fourfold. Good thing to think about when we're, 8 years old in Walmart, thinking about how we really could use something that we can't afford. It's not just a matter of repenting and returning it. Fourfold. To take something that doesn't belong to you, according to the Old Testament law, means that you owe four times what you take it, not simply to restore it. Maybe we could write that into our law. All those unethical people who have defrauded so many on Wall Street. Fourfold. Sounds pretty good. That'd help the economy. He restores everything that he has taken fourfold. According to Theophylact, that means he has given away everything. He doesn't have anything left. The first half he gave to the poor, the second half he gave away in order to follow the Old Testament law. Theophylact says, Zacchaeus has gone beyond the law. He followed the law. Four times what he has taken by fraud he has returned, but he has entered the life of the gospel. He is living a life that is like Christ. The other half, he gives to the poor. Theophylact reminds us of what God did with Job. God said to the devil, you can take anything and everything that he has. Everything that he has that he owns, even his health, I give into your hands. But do not touch his soul. Don't touch his soul. Zacchaeus has kept his soul. And he is going to live this new life in Christ of the gospel. He gives away what Theophylact calls his fleshly substance, the substance of a life lived according to the flesh. And remember, when we say flesh, following St. Paul, we're not saying the body is bad. God created us, body and soul, and the body is good. But when St. Paul and others follow him in this. Now, everyone can't apply this as a rule every time you hear someone say flesh or body. But Paul makes a distinction between body and flesh. When he talks about body, he uses one word in Greek. When he talks about flesh, he uses another word. And the difference is God created us, body and soul. He did not create us fleshly. The life of the flesh is when the body leaves the soul and lives a life from this world, a life of missing the mark, a life of valuing things over other human beings, valuing things over God. So you can give away all of those things, all of the things according to the flesh, the substance of a fleshly life. But don't give away, Theophylact says, as Zacchaeus did not, the substance of your soul. That you keep. That belongs to God. That you offer up to him. According to Theophylact, when Jesus says, Zacchaeus, you are a son of Abraham, it's a very significant thing, because if we remember back to the story of Abraham, Abraham is the one who lived in the city of Ur among the Sumerians. That was a place where the forces and powers of this world were worshipped in order to gain power, in order to build a great city, in order to have great wealth, in order to have empires. And that was the place that God called Abraham out of. Theophylact says, Zacchaeus' father was the devil. He imitated the devil's love of power, of glory, of pride. That's what he turned his back on. He left his old self behind. He came out of a life and a world where those were the things that meant more to him than anything else. But obviously, he had kept that which is most sacred in us, his soul, and that's why he desired to see Christ. He came out of that world, climbed to see Jesus, descended in humility, and gained salvation. Salvation from that life that was destroying him, making him wealthy, but shrinking him down in stature, making him unable to see the things that we need to do in our daily lives in order to follow Christ, unable to walk as the presence of Christ in the world. And that's our difficulty. We find ourselves unable to be the presence of Christ in the world, unable to do virtuous acts of Christ. When we do those things, we are at one with him. We can't even see what needs to be done unless we cast off, strip ourselves of all of the spiritual wealth of this world that we take on ourselves and use to comfort ourselves against the fear of suffering and death. And so, when we think about the ascent and descent of Zacchaeus, we can easily apply it to our own lives. We have to first make the effort to be able to see Christ himself so that we can see what needs to be done, how the Holy One himself, Jesus the Christ, walks in the world and walk in the world according to his likeness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.